Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inert Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's an honor to be a pastor of a Bible-believing church, wonderful congregation, families that love the Lord, kids that respect their parents and other adults and one another. Just really a really fun place to worship the Lord. And here on Bob Inert Live, we cover the news from a biblical worldview perspective. And so Sarah Palin, of course, ProLifeProfiles.com, had a lot to do with Sarah Palin and John McCain and the campaign, and then with also Mitt Romney and that fraudulent campaign. But the latest, even though Sarah Palin is the enemy, when people mistreat your enemy, still, you could recognize the injustice, the crime, and be concerned. You know, if there are gang members, let's say in the city nearest you, and somebody harms them or harms their children or whatever, still it's crime, injustice. It's not open season on people who you don't like or even people who are criminals. And so at any rate, this black rapper has been enraged against Sarah Palin for a completely unjustified reason. You know, the newspaper distributed on college campuses called The Onion. I haven't seen an issue of The Onion in many years. I don't know, 15 years. And I assume it's still being published. They made up all their news. It was just purely fabricated. I remember the cover story of the issue I saw probably 15 years ago, and the headline was this. It said, ACLU defends protesters' right to burn down ACLU headquarters. And that was typical Onion fare. It was hysterical. By the way, if you ever wondered about an Onion's DNA, that's a great topic that we'll have to save for Real Science Radio. So The Onion does these false news stories. So some outlet did a false news story on Sarah Palin. And liberals, if you are called a racist, right? A racist is someone winning an argument with a liberal. But it's also somebody who actually hates people of other races. But more commonly today in America, it is a conservative winning an argument with a liberal. Automatically, they call you a racist. So this make-believe news story about Sarah Palin had her commenting about slavery, saying, well, slavery, you know, blacks liked slavery, so it wasn't all that bad because they liked it. Now, this was just a fabricated story, and it was designed at some level for people to know it was made up, unless you're a blithering idiot. People should know it was made up. So there is a rapper who thought the story was real. I'm showing a photograph of her to our studio audience through our professional glass. You know, the glass in a radio studio, it's not just a sheet of glass, because sound waves go through a sheet of glass. It's not just a dual pane. It's not just two sheets of glass with air between them, because sound waves will still go through. One of the sheets of glass is at an angle compared to the other. They're not parallel. That way the sound waves go in, and they don't know where to bounce. They can't reverberate and strengthen themselves, so they tend to disappear. It works pretty well. But on the other side of this dual non-parallel divider we have, transparent divider, I'm showing this picture of a rapper named Banks. Azealia Banks. Rapper Azealia Banks has over 500,000 Twitter followers. And to 500,000 Twitter followers, being a pot-smoking idiot, this rapper, she vents her rage against Sarah Palin. And I'm not going to quote what she put out to her 500,000 Twitter followers. I'm not going to quote it because it's so vulgar. But I could tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of, in my past life, well, actually my present life, when I would go to jail, right? I'd go to jail for Operation Rescue, nonviolent, upholding the Christian worldview, trying to love your neighbor, upholding Christian values, traditional Christian family, all that. And so you'd get arrested now and then at an abortion clinic or at Focus on the Family, wherever. And you go to jail. And so I did about 6 months in jail. And from Boulder to Arapahoe County to Jefferson County to Denver, of those four, my favorite was Denver. Boulder, the inmates are all snooty. Like, we're from Boulder. We're upper-class criminals. In Denver, at least they were your normal garden-variety criminals. Been in jail in Wichita, Kansas, Washington, D.C. And in jail, virtually everyone denies doing what they were charged with. And for the most part, almost always, I was the only inmate that I knew who admitted to doing what we were charged with. Yes, I did that. Yes, I conspired to loiter. Yep, I'm guilty. I was convicted of conspiracy to loiter in Denver, Colorado. Sentenced to 2 months in jail. Actually, I think it was 4 months, and I got out in 2 months with time good behavior. But at any rate, while I was in jail in all those places, but especially in Denver, with a largely minority population, the general population, first they put you in intake and they evaluate you. Are you trying to, do you want to harm yourself? Are you going to harm somebody else? Are you a homosexual? If you're a homosexual, they send you off to, you don't wear the blue of the misdemeanors. You don't wear the green of the felons. You wear grays. And they send you off in a special sort of a quarantine area because everybody would be, you know, it just wouldn't work. But not the women. Unfortunately for Christians, for Christian women who go to jail from their Christian testimony, unfortunately for them, the lesbians, they just include with the female general population. And that's a real nightmare. I mean, that's really bad. And so at any rate, being in Denver County Jail for that time, I'd lived with minorities in my life in different circumstances, but that was a long period of time living with minorities, 2 months, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, over 2 months, and interacting with them and hearing and being so saddened, even grieved, by how vulgar and wicked was their, not only their own worldview and attitude, but their attitude toward the women in their community. The attitude of the black man in jail. So this is an upper class, right, in the black community. It's not even middle class. It's the underclass. When you have 1,000 people in jail for felons and misdemeanors, and I generally was in with the felons, even though I was always charged with misdemeanor crimes and or sentenced for misdemeanor crimes, I was normally with the felons, and I preferred that, you know, just like you prefer being in Denver rather than Boulder County Jail. Boulder had the best food, but the worst inmates. So there's a trade-off. The food isn't as great, but the inmates are just way more normal criminals in Denver. And there's, of course, a much greater opportunity to minister to them. I remember this one big black guy, real big guy, and they would take buckets and fill them up with wet rags, water, and they would use them as weights instead of, you know, barbells, dumbbells. They'd lift heavy buckets. And this one guy was just, he must have been 6 foot eight, and he was just big and strong, the biggest guy in our whole dorm. I think we had 98 beds in our one room. 98. And it was 10 o'clock at night. I forget exactly, but wrestling was coming on. Wrestling was coming on, and the news was coming on. And Channel 9 had been at the jail that day interviewing me, and they said it'd be on the news. And so every night at that time, they'd put on wrestling. And so some of the guys, they saw the reporter there. So some of the guys said, hey, let's watch the news and see Bob. And other guys switched it off and turned over to the wrestling. And so then some guy had a bit of guts and put the news back on. And another guy put the wrestling back on. And I thought, oh, no, I hope there's not a fight here. And so the real big black guy walked up to the TV, switched the news on, looked around at the inmates, and said, we're going to watch Bob. And he stood there, made sure nobody complained. And then he sat down and we watched the news. But during all that time, to hear the black inmates, how they spoke about the women in their lives. And I'm not going to repeat the terms that were ubiquitous. But where we would use terms of endearment, they used terms that were vulgar and derogatory. They used terms that were vulgar and derogatory. And so now comes rapper Azealia Banks, who misread an article about Sarah Palin, thought it was straight news, and began to tweet to her 500,000 followers that Sarah Palin needs to be, well, I'm not going to repeat what the tweet is, but find the biggest, blackest Negroes and let them blankety blank Sarah Palin. And not one tweet, but multiple tweets to that effect. And it just could not be more vulgar. And this is a role model for young people, and especially in the black community. And this, so what I had heard quite a few years ago now among black men from the inner city is, it seems that increasingly it's common among black women also. And this is just one example. But over the years, I've seen and heard plenty. By the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We got a call. My producer put up our phone number that people use to call in to get our materials, 1-800-8-NYART. Folks know, they've been listening for a while, that even though we don't give the number out, we generally don't take calls. If they call during showtime, there's a chance maybe the producer will decide to put you through. So you could call that number either to register for our 25th anniversary banquet, the Founders Club banquet, Bob and Yurt Live on the air for 25 years, Friday night, June 3rd at Shanahan Steakhouse in Denver. We're going to have a fabulous time. It's expensive, $1,000 a plate. There's what, over 20 people signed up so far. And we'll have a wonderful time. Hopefully we'll raise enough money to encourage the whole crew to fight for another 25 years, if the Lord tarries. And then for those who cannot afford that, we understand. My wife, Cheryl, I asked her last night, honey, are you going to the dinner? She said, I can't afford it. She said, I can't afford it. I'm like, she never asked me to pay for it. I mean, this whole thing is, this was a sabotage. This was a mutiny that a couple of the guys at church asked me to come up front. Who was it? Doug McBurney and Brian Enyart Jr. And they just announced that this was happening. And I objected, but I don't have a say often. So Cheryl, she didn't even ask me if I would treat her. That's normal, right? You go on a date and the guy treats. You're married and the guy brings home the money, generally speaking. Just last night, somebody said, "Thanks, Dad, for dinner." And one of the other kids said, "Dad didn't make it. Mom made it," in a nice way. And Mom said, "Yeah, but Dad paid for it," in a nice way. So, and she did too, right? It's a team effort, partnership. But at any rate, going to have a great time that Friday night at Shanahan's. Saturday, we have a picnic at Denver Bible Church to celebrate 25 years Bob and Your Live anniversary. There'll be tennis. There'll be softball. There'll be frisbees. There'll be hot dogs, barbecued. Last time we had a barbecue was at an abortionist house for Super Bowl Sunday. We brought a mobile barbecue. Had a barbecue in front of the guy's house during a protest. So we'll have a barbecue at Denver Bible Church. And then Sunday morning, Sunday school and church worship service sermon at Denver Bible Church. We should have a great weekend. But so that number that you could call in for any of that, or to order a monthly subscription or any of our materials, our Bible studies, our topical videos, our creation video, our flood video, Lord willing, sometime in May, we will have our latest science video on the Big Bang, evidence, Real Science Radio's evidence against the Big Bang. That'll be really exciting. But that same number you could use to call in. So 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So let's go to Denver, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, always a pleasure to call in and hear your voice, sir.
Well, thank you. So I see you want to talk about abortion and Ted Cruz.
Yes, it seems like a few days ago when Donald Trump was mocked for saying that women who have an abortion should be punished, Ted Cruz came back and said, "No, well, I never do anything like that. I support strong women. And even though I'm pro-life, I have no intention of making abortion illegal." So has he completely flip-flopped on the issue now?
Now, I didn't hear that second part, John. We don't want to spread rumors here, but I know over the years when you've called in a handful of times, you've been very reliable, but I didn't hear that. He said, "I have no intention of punishing the women because the women are victims too." He didn't say, "I have no intention of making abortion illegal." I think you're combining Donald Trump, who after this brouhaha, he said something like, you know, the abortion laws are settled, which is the truth, because as I said on Channel 7, I think it was on Thursday night this past week, I was on just briefly, and Russell Haythorne asked me about Donald Trump, and I was able to share with their audience that Donald Trump is a fraudulent pro-lifer. He has no concern for the unborn child. His concern is to manipulate the Republican base to support him, to vote for him. So he, in backpedaling instantly on what he said about abortion and women, he then said, look, the abortion laws are settled. Same thing that John Roberts said when he was being supported by James Dobson and Focus on the Family to be the Chief Justice. He said, as far as I'm concerned, abortion law is settled in America. And we had many reasons for them to beware of him. They rejected all that. They politically supported him. And he's the one now who's given us Obamacare and homosexual marriage in California, for example, and many wicked rulings. Because John Roberts is the enemy. We knew that before Bush nominated him and before James Dobson lobbied for him to be confirmed. And sure enough, here we are to this day. John Roberts is the enemy. So it wasn't Cruz. It was Donald Trump who used the John Roberts line that abortion is settled law. So first, he immediately reversed himself that the woman should be punished immediately. And in reversing himself, he said abortion is settled law. And then the campaign immediately reversed that and said he meant it was settled until he wins the election. And then it will be unsettled. But so, John, that's my understanding of what transpired.
Okay, I got that from Fox News on my app on my iPhone. And it also seemed to kind of indicate that Ted Cruz was going to basically put a lot of more faith in the states to make a decision. In other words, sliding a little bit into legal positive.
Yeah, I would have no doubt on that part. Okay, because Ron Paul taught conservative, even Christian, Republicans, candidate politicians, how to pass the buck on every moral issue that is vitally important to stand up for. They would say, let the states decide. And so in a Ron Paul America, tens of millions of children will be killed routinely because overwhelmingly the states are pro-abortion. California and New York and on and on and on. So for Ted Cruz, of course, Ted Cruz would pick up that excuse and countless other excuses because as a Harvard educated attorney, a lawyer, he has only opposed good abortion legislation and supported evil legislation that ends with, and then you could kill the baby. And so
Can we trust Cruz or Kasich, or are they going to say anything they can to beat Trump?
No, right. No, you can't. At ProLifeProfiles.com, you could go to ProLifeProfiles.com. In Tier 3, Personhood Later, you find Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz, there's a stunning video, a two-minute video put out by American Right to Life. And it has Ted Cruz, in his own words, I oppose personhood legislation, and then they have a second person. They have a second pro-life response to Ted Cruz video about regulations. So the first one is about his opposition to personhood, and the second one is about his support for laws that end with "and then you could kill the baby." And hey, John, if Ted Cruz were a politician in Germany, and there was a district somewhere that was trying to pass a law that said Jews are people who have the rights of persons, right? Ted Cruz would oppose that law, and he would oppose it based on the lies the Nazis told about that law. And if he was a politician in America during slavery and there was a law that said blacks are people and should have the rights of persons, he would oppose that law on the basis of what the lies the slave owners were telling about that law. But he's here in America in 2016. So the states that have tried to pass laws that say the baby is a person and should be recognized as having the rights of a person, he opposes those laws based on the lies told about those laws by Planned Parenthood. So he can't be trusted.
With all of this going on, Bob, I know it's a bit early, but I can ask one more question.
Yeah.
What are your predictions, do you think, for the 2016 election? Do you have any predictions so far?
I generally don't predict, and I hardly care. I hardly care, because you've got one evil candidate after another evil candidate after another fraud after another fraud. So you've got, you know, Ted Cruz was part of the whole George W. Bush administration from the beginning, from the campaign. And Bush doubled the money flowing to Planned Parenthood from what Bill Clinton was able to give them, over $1 billion to over $2 billion. George W. Bush gave to Planned Parenthood. And where was Ted Cruz's warning to Christians and pro-lifers that the Bush administration let us down, that they misled us, that they were not against funding abortion, that they funded it at record levels. Where was his warning? Where's that warning even to this very day?
Nowhere, I'm guessing.
No, right. Thank you. Nowhere. So, you know, if Ted Cruz used the same policy toward ISIS as he does toward Planned Parenthood, he would urge ISIS to anesthetize before a beheading. That's what he would do. He would say, look, you Muslims over there in Syria, before you behead a child or a woman or an innocent person, would you please anesthetize them before you behead them? He'll work for 12 years on that. Try to get them to anesthetize before their next beheading. How's that? Get parental consent. What's that, John?
I said any compromise at all in order to avoid the horrible Wicked Witch of the West Wing, that person, that woman that we all have been taught to fear since the 1990s from getting into the office, basically.
Who, Laura Bush?
No, Hillary.
Oh, Hillary. Yeah, you know, the people who say they're going to vote for the lesser of two evils, it could be that there's no bottom to that abyss, of course, right?
No, once you go down, there's no stopping.
There's no bottom to that abyss. And so easily, that pro-life Christian might end up voting for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton if they're going to be consistent when they realize that the alternative is even worse. Because when the good man does evil, or the perceived good man does evil, the consequences are far more horrific than when the obviously wicked do wicked. So, you know, Bill Clinton gets caught having another affair versus if it was a respected Christian leader, right?
Which, it would be horrible. Like,
which would be more devastating? Of course. It's obvious.
Of course.
And so that's why Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So the cold is less dangerous than the lukewarm.
Thank you so much, Bob.
God bless
you. Appreciate it, brother.
John from Denver, thank you for calling in. And this is Bob and Aaron, our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. And June 3rd, Friday night, Shanahan's. Can't wait.